Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all these things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single white hair or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. You all get the triple whammy today: a long gospel, a video, and a homily. So consider yourselves a special afternoon here. And then we think, how could Bishop Olmsted choose this Sunday to this weekend CDA? Because did you hear? It's a long gospel. Did you hear what you guys heard? We hit all the hot button issues. We hit divorce. We hit adultery. We talked about cutting off our hands and our ears, plucking out our eyes. And then you all said, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." Sometimes I don't think we listen to everything. But what this gospel has to do with message and God and his providence has everything to do with CDA. Because it has to do with our radical call to love and our radical call to charity. There's two main points I want to make today, and the first is freedom. Freedom is important to us as Americans, and we heard that all through the gospel readings and the first reading from Sirach today. But we have a distorted notion of what freedom truly is. I think as Americans, we want absolute freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and with whomever we want. But that's not freedom. What parent just lets their child run out into the street or touch a huckle? We restrict. We restrict from the very beginning. And but the beauty is, our God is a loving God. He gives us free will. He gives us the ability. He puts two choices before us. He gives life. He gives death. He gives good. He gives evil. That's what the scripture said. But you heard what St. Paul said in the second reading, that it's mysterious, and that's hidden within us, and it's revealed in us because he created us. And we've heard all throughout this week, throughout this last month, making it through the Sermon on the Mount, that we're called to be his disciples. We're given the Beatitudes to live the divine life. And now we hear again that what that divine life does within us, it radically transforms us with loves and make us salt to the earth, a light to the world, a hope to the nations. That's what this appeal says. This appeal says, if you look at the envelopes, give hope, give love. It's radical, radical love. That's the issue with freedom. And the second point is woven throughout the gospel is mere observance, external observance of the law and rules is not sufficient to be a Christian. They said in the scriptures, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are strong words. While the rules and everything that we do externally are important, they are not sufficient. What is sufficient throughout all of this, because Jesus did not come to abolish the law, he says that, but he takes us to a radically different level, one of love, one that transforms. And that's why money is difficult to talk about. It's difficult to talk about money in our businesses, in our families, let alone in church. People say, there they go to the church, they're asking for money. But the church isn't asking for your money. The church is asking for your love. That's what we're asking for. And Pope Benedict said that in his encyclical Deus Caritas, as the problem that we have is our problem with language. That's our problem. Our time, talent, and treasure is all so vitally important. And that's what the CAD is for. Because we alone have this call. We hear in the Acts of the Apostles that everybody brought their stuff together and there were no needs amongst them. Well, we have brothers and sisters in need. And we understand our principle of subsidiarity that says we're responsible first to take care of the people in our immediate surroundings. That's true. But we also have a responsibility to take up the global church, not only our parish, but our diocese and the greater church throughout the world. And that's what the CD is. This isn't just something for the pet projects, for our bishop or people of the chancery to try to develop new programs. This is to take care of real needs in people in our diocese. And when we have detachment from those things, including our money, and we give them freely to God, much more is brought to us in return. Let me share one short story with you, and then I'll end. I think it was 9 years ago when my family and I came into the parish and we went to our first school auction. And we were sitting at a table and we invited my parents to be there. And there was a live auction item that was given by the Pomeroy family. It was a painting, an oil painting of whatever and whoever you wanted. And I told my wife at the beginning of the night that I want that for our family. I want a picture of our children to remember what they were like. But they're smaller. Oldest now is almost 21. So my parents, and neither of my parents go to church. They're Christian and Easter Catholics. My dad sometimes probably has a little bit of antithesis. They're not a big fan of the church. So the bidding at that went probably much more than he was comfortable. My parents don't come from any type of money or have any type of wealth. So they saw what I was willing to spend on that. And I said, but this is for the church. And he was very angry. He says, give it to me, your father. I'm your father. Give it to me. And he was a little angry. So anyway, we did win the art. Mr. Pomeroy painted our kids and we framed it, and I went to pick it up probably 4 months later in his office. And there was a gentleman there that was working for him and asked me what my last name was, and I said, it was Shavira. And he says, do you have family in California? And I said, I don't know. Very short from the story, my father never met his dad. And that was something that he always wanted to meet. He never knew who his father was. He knew he existed, he knew his name. And it's when I got in college, I wanted to meet my grandfather. And I tried and I looked up there without any success. But that's how I said, yes, maybe we do have family in California, I don't know, and we just left it at that. Well, the next day, Friday, my day off, I was on the golf course and I got an urgent call from my office that one of my dad's sisters wanted to speak to me. And they gave the name and I said, call her back. That's not true. My dad doesn't have a sister with that name. The end of it is they reached out. My dad's father was still alive. He was in a nursing home in Santa Ana. And he wanted to meet my father and us, and he was ill in his last couple. He wanted to reconcile there. And I called my wife before I called my father because I didn't want to hurt my dad. I know how painful this journey had been with him. But the short, within the next 30 days, we drove out to Disneyland, of all places, wishing upon a star. But that gift, that going, that tie, that willingness just to give here to the school and to the parish allowed my father to meet his father, not every knowing that was a goal idea. And it just shows then what God, when you give things away, you never know how that will touch, whom that will touch, and how that will come back to change your life radically, all out of love, in ways that you will never imagine. So please remember, these are the little cards. Your pledge card is there. Please fill those in, and there will not be a second collection. This will be taken up during the regular collection, or you can drop it by the office at any time. But abundant blessings in the coming week.